the Britain people, they're pulling out. That's right. Prince Harry may face an Iraq call-up. Tony Blair is going to pull the troops out of Iraq. Cheney thinks it's a wonderful idea. We're coming back with more of the show right after this.
Streaming around the world, around the corner, and up your alley, it's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19 in Arizona.
And back with you for our second hour on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. Welcome back to all the Wolfpack listeners around the world, around the United States. And we thank you for joining us again, sticking with us for another 2 hours. That's right, we have 2 hours still to talk about a lot of issues. We can cover a lot in 3 hours. And without phone lines, without interviews, it's 3 hours of in-depth conversation. You can wade in, obviously, very easily by just emailing us and phoning us. It's not live on the phone call. But at least you could voice your opinion, and we will listen to your phone calls after the show, and then the next day we will play your phone calls on the air until we get set up for live call-ins. We are live now, but we have live call-ins. Don't forget we're replayed also. If you are listening to this during the day and you couldn't catch the whole show, we're replayed again at night, 9 p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you're listening to this now and then you're hearing the replay, but we are live when we're doing it, so you're catching us for you live, depending on where you are in the world or if you just couldn't listen while you're at work. And we're also replayed on the weekend, I believe, twice on Saturday and twice on Sunday. Kind of cool. 3 to 4 times on the weekend. So you have plenty of ways to listen to us. And I did not check the website yet at the headonradionetwork.com website, if under the White Rose Society archive area, if we are archived yet. I was told we are going to be archived. Hope that happens soon so those of you can get a chance to download the show and listen to it at your leisure. With that in mind, let's jump right into this. This was interesting. A series of events. Prince Harry, and let me make sure I've got both of this here. Let's see the time frame on this when this came across. Actually, it came before. Kind of interesting. This was on the wire services. Prince Harry may face Iraq call-up. That's right. Prince Harry's regiment of London will learn on Thursday whether he is to be sent to Iraq in the latest round of troop deployments. Defense Secretary Des Brown will brief MPs on Thursday on which military units will be sent to Iraq in April as part of a long-planned rotation of troops, said the Ministry of Defense. A spokesman refused to reveal which units were involved or to indicate whether Harry's regiment, the Blues and Royals, will be among those deployed. But speculation is rife that the prince, who is third in line to the throne, will become the first royal to serve a tour of duty in a war zone since his uncle, the Duke of York, flew helicopters in the Falklands conflict in 1982. Mr. Brown's announcement will come in a written statement to the House of Commons, said the MOD. It follows the announcement by Prime Minister Tony Blair. We're going to get to that in a second, that his commitment to Iraq is to be reduced. We'll get to that report in a second. Unconfirmed reports early this month suggest that the prince's unit, a squadron of the Blues and Royals, have been warned unofficially to expect a six-month tour of duty in the southern Iraq starting in April. They're expected to be deployed as part of a household cavalry. My tongue is not working. Sorry about that. Let's try this again. As part of a household cavalry detachment, as a one mechanized brigade replaces 19 light brigade, which is returning home after a six-month tour of duty. It is not yet known what duties the prince, known in the army as Coronet Wales, will perform if he is sent to Iraq. But Prince Harry has insisted he wants to be treated the same as any ordinary soldier, rather than being kept away from harm and headquarters jobs. All right. So Prince Harry, his unit may be deployed. All right. That's interesting. More so than the senators and the Republicans, the House members who are looking to escalate the war in Iraq. Their children are not in harm's way. But Prince Harry of Britain is in harm's way. So what comes out? Also in the same day, Blair announces Iraq withdrawal plan. And people are wondering, is this because of Harry? Well, the news article reads, from London AP Wire Services, Britain will withdraw around 1,600 troops from Iraq in the coming months and aims to further cut its 7,100-strong contingent by late summer if Iraqi forces can secure the country's south, Prime Minister Tony Blair said Wednesday. The announcement which came as Denmark said it would also withdraw its 460 troops, and Lithuania said it was considering pulling out its small contingent, comes as the U.S. is implementing an increase of 21,000 more troops for Iraq, putting Washington on an opposite track as its main coalition allies. You know what I like about this, guys? Ladies and gents, men and women, boys and girls of the Wolfpack listening audience, they're realizing this war is getting out of hand. They're realizing that the surge, the escalation that George Bush wants in Iraq is wrong, and it's the most destructive thing that could be done for this war. That Britain and Denmark and Lithuania are wising up and saying, what a perfect opportunity to get out now and leave George Bush isolated in his decision. We side with the world about the withdrawal and let George Bush look foolish in trying to perpetuate a war that cannot be won, a war that is a disaster from day one. Analysts say that there is little point in boosting troops in largely Shiite southern Iraq, where most non-U.S. coalition troops are concentrated. Yet as more countries draw down or pull out, it could create a security vacuum if radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr stirs up trouble. Blair told the House of Commons that British troops will stay in Iraq until at least 2008 and work to secure the Iran-Iraq border and maintain supply routes to U.S. and coalition troops. He told lawmakers that increasingly our role will be supportive training and our numbers will be able to reduce accordingly. The actual reduction in forces will be from the present 7,100 itself down from over 9,000 2 years ago and 40,000 at the time of the conflict to roughly 5,500, Blair said. If Iraqi forces are judged ready to assume more responsibility for security in southern Iraq, Britain could further reduce its force level to below 5,000 once a base at Basra Palace is transferred to Iraqi control in late summer, Blair said. Blair said Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki had agreed to the plan. What all of this means is not that Basra is how we we want it to be, but it does mean that the next chapter in Basra's history can be written by Iraqis, Blair said. Denmark said it would withdraw its troops from southern Iraq by August, and the decision has been made with the Iraqi government and Britain, under whose command the Danish forces are serving near Basra, Prime Minister Anders Fogh Rasmussen said. Jumping along here, I'm just looking along. He added that Denmark would replace the troops with surveillance helicopters and civilian advisors. A defense ministry spokeswoman in Lithuania, Rūta Apaktia, said the Baltic nation is also seriously considering withdrawing its 53 troops from Iraq in August. The Lithuanian platoon serves with a Danish battalion near Basra. The major effect of the British and Danish withdrawals will likely be political, coming on the heels of Bush's decision to boost U.S. troops levels. Democratic leaders could use the announcements to pressure Bush to put forth his own timetable for U.S. troop withdrawal. See? I'm telling you. They're saying this is what's happening. We don't agree that this should be an escalation. They're going to put Bush on the spot to start doing withdrawals. Otherwise, he's going to look like the lone gun, the lone force in Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice played down the British pullback, saying it's a consistent move with the U.S. plan to turn over more control to Iraqi forces. What are they going to say, folks? What is Condi going to say? The British have done what is really the plan for the country as a whole, which is to transfer security responsibility to the Iraqis as the situation permits. Rice said in Germany, where she is meeting with the German foreign minister, the coalition remains intact, and in fact, the British still have thousands of troops deployed in Iraq. Blair and Bush talked by secure video link Tuesday about Britain's proposed withdrawal. U.S. National Security Council spokesman Gordon Jandro said. He also said that Bush views Britain's troop cutbacks as a sign of success. And we'll get to that. I have this Cheney said the same thing. Bush and Cheney think it's a sign of success in Iraq because of the withdrawals. Wow. The spin that comes out of the GOP. So basically Blair talking about withdrawing troops and starting to bring them down in levels. And Prince Harry possibly going out to a tour of duty. And who knows what the tie-in is that they're bringing down troops, so Prince Harry's troops are not needed in there as protection of Prince Harry. You can understand that, you know, as a father would. But very interesting, though. So the other countries starting to withdraw their troops, wanting to withdraw their troops, and basically saying and making a statement, you know, hey, George Bush, you want to escalate? You want to bring in more troops? You want to go into a war that is unwinnable, that is a destructive war right now with thousands of people dying every day. We're not getting anywhere, and it's deteriorating to a civil war. Be our guest. Do it on your own. But what we're going to do is we're withdrawing our troops and protecting our forces. Lithuania, Denmark, England, we're going to make sure that we're going to protect our own citizens. George Bush, you're on your own. So more pressure being brought to the Bush administration. It's time to take a stand. They are doing it. And now George Bush standing alone in the world, slowly but surely, with this escalation, call it as it is. It's an escalation. It's not a surge. It's time to change tactics. It's time to change the way they do things in Iraq. And it's time to wind this war down and shut it down. Because enough is enough. You can reach us, you know the email, I'll repeat it again, wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, and our voice comment line 206-350-3919, 206-350-3919. We had a couple of people try to call in. We've noticed Samantha told me two people tried to call in, and they didn't leave a message. So I don't know if they were playing around. Guys, if you're going to call in, okay? If you're using the voice comment line, do it. If you're having problems, try a different phone. But don't just call to just use it and use up the time. Basically what it does is it kicks out. If it's a bad call and you don't talk, it'll erase it from the thing, put it in a spam folder. We found it in the spam folder. We were just checking how the system works. We found two phone calls that came in where basically nobody even talked. Okay? So use it and leave your comments. Cheney, in a related story, says the British troop withdrawal is a positive sign. Yay! Yay! Dick Cheney saying, oh my God, this is great. Look how they spin this. Vice President tells soldiers in Tokyo the U.S. will not withdraw until the job is done. Contradiction, folks. If it's a positive sign that the job is getting done, which you'll hear when I read this, but he tells the U.S. troops in Tokyo that we will not withdraw until the job is done. What is he saying? That the British people are leaving and Lithuania and Denmark are leaving and the job's not done? Contradiction, Mr. Cheney. British Prime Minister Tony Blair's announcement the British troops will begin withdrawing from Iraq would appear to be bad news for the Bush administration. Blair said today that Britain will cut its forces. But in an exclusive interview with ABC News, Vice President Dick Cheney said the move was actually good news and a sign of progress in Iraq. Well, I look at it. It's actually an affirmation that there are parts of Iraq where things are going pretty well, Cheney told ABC News' Jonathan Carl. In fact, I talked to a friend just the other day who had driven to Baghdad down to Basra 7 hours, found the situation dramatically improved from a year or so ago, sort of validated the British view they had made progress in southern Iraq and that they can therefore reduce their force levels, Cheney said. ABC News interviewed the vice president in Tokyo, where he told troops aboard the USS Kitty Hawk that the United States would not withdraw until the job was done. I want you to know that the American people will not support a policy of retreat, Cheney told the soldiers. So it's okay for the British forces to remove the troops, Lithuanians and Denmark, but that means the job's getting done, yet he tells the troops, Dick Cheney does, that the job is not done and that's a retreat. Make up your mind. Cheney also had harsh words for Democratic leaders, including Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, Representative Jack Murtha, who says he wants to stop the surge of more U.S. troops in Iraq. Cheney said Pelosi and other Democrats were pushing a policy in Iraq that would validate the al-Qaeda strategy. I think if we were to do what Speaker Pelosi and Congressman Murtha are suggesting, all we'll do is validate the Al-Qaeda strategy, Cheney told ABC News. The Al-Qaeda strategy is to break the will of the American people, knowing they can't win in a stand-up fight, try to convince us to throw in the towel and come home, and then they win because we quit, he said. He does spin, doesn't he? I think that is exactly the wrong course to go on, Cheney said. I think this is the course of action that Speaker Pelosi and Murtha support. I think it would be a mistake for our country. Jack Murtha has proposed putting conditions on funding for U.S. military operations in Iraq, of course, such as requiring the military to guarantee that troops will spend at least 12 months at home between deployments. A reasonable request. Murtha has said that his ultimate goal is to stop the president's plan to send more troops to Iraq. Pelosi has opposed the administration's plan to increase troop numbers in Iraq and spearheaded a bid to oppose the Bush plan with a non-binding congressional resolution. She expected to back Murtha's plan. Cheney also responded to John McCain, Mr. Flip-Flopper in Arizona, who said in a recent interview with the Politico newspaper that the president listened too much to the vice president. Of course, the president bears the ultimate responsibility, but he was very badly served by both the vice president, most of all, the Secretary of Defense, who McCain said he loved years ago. I was just fundamentally disagree with John McCain, Cheney told ABC News. John said some nasty things about me the other day, and then next time he saw me, ran over to me and apologized. Maybe he'll apologize to former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. Cheney strongly disagreed with McCain's recent statement that Rumsfeld was one of the worst defense secretaries ever. I think he did a superb job in terms of managing the Pentagon under extraordinarily difficult circumstances, Cheney said. He and John had a number of dust-ups over policy. Didn't have anything to do with Iraq. John is entitled to his opinion. I just think he is wrong. Every member of our military can be certain that America will stay on the offensive in the war on terror, Cheney told the troops. And I want you to know that the American people will not support a policy of retreat. We want to complete the mission. We want to get it done right. We want to return with honor. So spin, spin, spin. Spin till your daddy takes the T-bird away. Dick Cheney saying the withdrawal by the British troops and Lithuania and Denmark are okay. That's shows the plan is working. But if we withdraw the United States troops, that's retreat. And that's signaling to the enemy we're throwing the towel in. Unbelievable, Dick. Your lies and spin just spew in the air and land wherever they can, and you just make it up as you go along. I'm Jeff Allen Wolf. We're coming back with more of the show. Email us wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, W-O-L-F-P-A-C-K-T-A-L-K @yahoo.com, or phone us 206-350-3919. Don't worry about it. It's not live now when you phone us, folks. It's a voice comment line. It's like an answering machine. 206-350-3919. We're coming back.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
Narrowcast, podcast, world class. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
And back with you, taking you through our second hour here at the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. Welcome aboard. Dick Cheney, John McCain, George Bush, you know, Tony Blair, Lithuania and Denmark, the British people, the Lithuanians, the Denmark people are, the government are withdrawing troops and, you know, powering it down, bringing it down to a lower level, and making George Bush more and more isolated in a situation where he is the only one who keeps going escalate, escalate, escalate. And Dick Cheney spinning it, saying, "Oh no, no, it's okay. It's, you know, the escalation, the troop withdrawals by the British people, the Denmark, the country of Denmark and the Lithuanians. It's okay. It's okay. They're withdrawing because it means our plan is working. But we're not going to leave until the job is done." So it's like a mixed statement. And God love them. You gotta love these people. And you gotta love Dick Cheney. And his spin, no matter what is done, he's like a weeble. Remember the weeble? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. You could punch them, you could hit them. They just wobble along and they bounce right up, back up. Those punching, remember those blow-up punching clowns? You hit it, it bounces back up. That's what Dick Cheney and George Bush are like. You could hit them, you could punch them, you know, they take a lick and they keep on ticking. You know, bring them right back up. Doesn't matter. And it's like, vup, 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 vup. No, that's okay. The reason why that happened is it spins, 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 yada, 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 boom, vup, 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 vup. You hit them, they bounce, they come back up. I think it's hilarious. I really do. I think it's absolutely hilarious when you think about it. All right. Moving along, moving along. Let's, why don't we talk about that? John McCain. John McCain, John McCain. We talked about yesterday John McCain flip-flopping over and over again, flipping and flopping and jumping around, flippity-flop, flippity-flop, flippity-flop. John McCain is suffering Republican mutiny back home. That's right. Arizona, right here, my newfound home state. John McCain, this is from my Max Blumenthal from The Nation. It was published... posted February 15th on Alternet and printed just today. It says, just as the presidential nomination process begins in earnest, Senator John McCain has suffered a stinging defeat in his home state for the Republican media darling declared recently by Chris Matthews to be the one candidate who deserves the presidency. It was an unlikely loss, and so far it has gone unheralded by the National Press Corps that McCain once half-jokingly called my base. This defeat was the handiwork of his presumed actual political base, a ragtag band of local conservative activists led by a 65-year-old retired IBM middle manager named Rob Haney. Well, who is Rob Haney, the article says? He is the Republican state committee man in Arizona's District 11, McCain's home district. In the past, Haney and his fellow committee members would meet from time to time to review their annual budget, vote on bylaws, and pass resolutions. If anyone represents Arizona's Republican Party advancing the causes of faith, family, and freedom, it is the folks from District 11. Yet their importance, let alone their existence, seemed to matter little to their state's famous and ambitious senior senator. All that changed when Haney organized a revolt that hardly needed encouragement. People would be calling into state committee headquarters every week, absolutely enraged, threatening to leave the party because of some comments McCain made. Haney told me the guy has no core. His only principle is winning the presidency. He likes to call his campaign the Straight Talk Express. Well, down here, we call it the Forked Tongue Express. Folks, if you were thinking of voting for McCain, if you're a Republican listening to my show, there's no justification for voting McCain at this point. Giuliani is flawed. McCain is flawed. Who you got, folks? At this point, the Democratic nomination, whoever we nominate, it's going to sew up the nomination for the presidency in 08 because Giuliani is a thief making his reputation off of 9/11 and all his business earnings that he made because he looked like I'm Mr. Crisis Management. And McCain, who says he's straight talker, we talked about his flip-flopping on the abortion issue, Roe v. Wade. We talked about on the experimentation with stem cell tissue experimentation, fertile tissue experimentation. We talked about his flip-flopping on Rumsfeld, his flip-flopping on the Iraq War, and now his own state of Arizona, where I live, his own state, says we call him the Forked Tongue Express. Rank-and-file Republicans are disgruntled about McCain's support for campaign finance reform and gun control and his opposition to a federal ban on gay marriage. Conservative anger reached a boiling point in 2004 when McCain led the opposition to Proposition 200, a state ballot measure restricting public services for undocumented immigrants. In the summer of 2005, months after Prop 200 succeeded, with support from nearly 70% of GOP voters, Haney introduced a resolution in District 11 to censure McCain for dereliction of his duties and responsibilities as a representative of the citizens of Arizona. After the resolution coasted through the district, it was introduced before the GOP committee of Maricopa County, Arizona's largest, encompassing Phoenix and Scottsdale, once home to Barry Goldwater. The article goes on to say, all, at the time, McCain and his handlers were working to burnish his conservative credentials to win over wary Republican primary voters. The effort began with McCain's May 2006 graduation speech at Liberty University, a school founded by the Reverend Jerry Falwell, whom McCain has dubbed an agent of intolerance during his rancorous 2000 run for the presidency. His makeover continues on February 23rd when he is scheduled to speak before the Discovery Institute, the right-wing think tank that has attempted to introduce into public school biology classes, the teaching of intelligent design. Although Arizona is somewhat off the national radar, Haney's resolution posed a threat to the McCain makeover. Apparently alarmed, the senator dispatched his chief of staff to the Maricopa County Republicans meeting to warn against the resolution. At McCain's behest, Arizona's other GOP Senator John Kyle sent his own chief of staff as well. But Haney's resolution passed by a nearly unanimous vote. No one in the party structure would dare say anything about McCain, and the grassroots was enraged, so I voiced their concerns, Haney said. And McCain and the party establishment came down on me hard. They said, you're going to destroy his chances in the presidential campaign. Not content to let the purely symbolic resolution stand, McCain recruited a slate of candidates to oust Haney and his allies in last November's state committee elections. McCain's supporters formed a political action committee, Grassroots Arizona PAC, to bankroll this effort. 40% of Grassroots Arizona's funds were provided by two Democratic donors from San Francisco, apparently in rapture with McCain and his maverick image. Yeah, they were taken in, folks. They were taken in where everyone thinks he's going against the GOP when he's not. Another liar. Gregory said Lisa went, which added fuel to the flames of Haney's revolt. McCain's slate was formidable, including Fife Symington, a former Arizona governor coaxed out of retirement to come to the rescue of his old friend. So worried was McCain about being rebuked by his own party that he threw his own hat into the race, announcing that he would run for state committeeman. When the votes were counted, McCain and his entire slate were resoundingly defeated. Despite endorsements from virtually every Republican member of Arizona's congressional delegation, Symington, who had never lost a race in his life, was crushed, as was McCain, adding insult to injury. In January, another key McCain ally, Republican political consultant Lisa James, was defeated for state GOP committee chair by Randy Pullen, a prominent McCain critic, an anti-immigration activist who headed the campaign for Proposition 200. James' defeat could complicate McCain's presidential ground game because she was to have used her position at the top of Arizona's Republican apparatus to secure the state's primary for McCain. Well, McCain is still likely to win his home state's primary, but according to Haney, the senator's failed attempt to oust his critics has galvanized his conservative opponents. If McCain had just been quiet about me passing those resolutions, Haney said, the whole issue would have died. I mean, it is unheard of for anyone to care so much about district committeemen, especially from a senator. McCain's botched revenge has solidified his reputation in Arizona's Republican circles as a divisive, untrustworthy, and even dangerous figure. Haney hopes the general public meets this side of McCain before his penchant for angry reprisals is invested with the powers of the presidency. This just shows that McCain is mentally unstable, out of control, and vindictive. Folks, this is his own people in Arizona. If he is determined to go through that much trouble to attack a district committee chairman, what does that say about his ability to handle real political problems? And this is from Max Blumenthal, and it was on Independent, it was on Alternet, posted from Independent Media Institute. Do you believe this? So McCain's suffering a big backlash in Arizona. His own people, his own side, thinks he's dangerous, divisive, and off his rocker, basically. You got McCain, you got Giuliani, who's a mercenary with money and greed, making his reputation on the 9/11 deaths, and McCain making his reputation off of being nasty and arrogant, yet he's burning people off, and they're going to come back to bite him in the rear end, and he's trying to run for the president, and he flip-flops on all the issues, from Roe v. Wade and Rumsfeld in Iraq, and fertile tissue experimentation, and gun control, and this man flip-flops. Wow, what a collective group of losers the GOP have brought into this presidential race for the nomination in 08 for the GOP. What a bunch of losers. Giuliani and McCain, I'm not impressed. Not impressed at all. Our email, wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, and our phone number, voice comment line, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 206-350-3919, 206-350-3919. Let us know what's on your mind. We're coming right back after these short words from our sponsors. More with the Jeff Allen Wolf Show from America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network, right after this.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
Unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, but with a huge dose of common sense. It's Jeff Allen Wolf.
And back with you here on the second hour of our show for today. Coming to you live, streaming worldwide from Studio 19 in Arizona. My producer, Samantha, in the studio helping us keep things on track. Let's go to some viewer. I keep doing viewer. I'm so used to television because I used to do television. Let's go to some listener email and talk about, let's see. This is from Reva, and Reva says, I have listened to the stream broadcast, listening right now, and really enjoy Jeff. Thank you, Reva. She's from Boca Raton in Florida. We appreciate that, Reva. We were also talking about Shannon. Remember our 16-year-old closeted member of the Republican Party? We had a negative email yesterday in our first hour I read, and she was blasting me, saying she didn't like how I defamed and personal attacks on other people, and I said she was a closet Republican. Well, we received a good email from Ray. And Ray says, Hi, Jeff. I was listening to your negative email from Shanna, a 16-year-old closeted member of the Republic, misspelled purposefully, party, Republic Party. Shanna appears to believe that the views that do not conform to those of the president and the Republican Party is suspect. I believe that both viewpoints are suspect. That is why we have to know the truth. Hiding the truth as the Republic Party is constantly obscuring. During the Watergate days, tapes were magnetically erased. During Iran-Contragate, Oliver North was given immunity from prosecution for finally telling the truth after lying over and over before being hauled into Congress. If the truth is known, the security of this nation and the world could be affected drastically. If the truth comes out, people could revolt, stop supporting the fascistic system that has been pushing us to invest as national security. 46 million Americans don't have health insurance. 15 million Americans out of 300 million have more than enough to underwrite all the world's needs without hurting their own needs. As a person raised in a Christian tradition, I am frustrated with how Christianity has been hijacked by the Christian right. When Pope Paul VI spoke at the UN in the late 60s and said, "War no more. In the name of Christ, we have no authority to kill another person for any reason." Signed, Ray. And Ray, thank you very much. He was responding about the 16-year-old who said she listened to my show, didn't like what she heard. She's an independent, she said, but we all believe she's a closeted Republican. Another email we received from Billy, also responding to Shanna, the 16-year-old listener. Billy says, Your response to Shanna, the 16-year-old listener, was fair and balanced. Thank you, Billy. However, I strongly disagree with a specific comment you made. Okay. Jeff, I beg you, please never ever call George Bush a mastermind. He has no mind, isn't it obvious? Just listen to the man speak. He's an embarrassment to this country. Signed, Billy. Billy, thank you very much, one of our Wolfpack listeners. And finally, we were talking about, Shanna was talking about how, you know, we had to fight them there, basically, and before we fought. Shanna was paraphrasing basically what George Bush says. You know, that Shanna was alluding to the fact in the email that we read yesterday from her that, you know, she's afraid to go outside and raise her children in an environment where, you know, if she goes to a cafe or restaurant, she could be blown up by a terrorist. And I was saying, there are no terrorists trying to attack us on our home soil. Please, I'm tired of hearing that stuff. Besides the isolated incidents of terrorist attacks over the years, I'm talking about on a daily basis. I'm not talking about the coal. I'm not talking about the bombing. You know, it's at the I'm blank here. I'm not talking about you know what's happening. My mind is going. When you think about something and you try to bring up about isolated incidences, boy, I will think of the USS Cole is what I'm talking about. Number one, and I'm talking about. The first bombing attempt at the World Trade Center. There we go. My mind is a sieve right now today. But Chad is saying, you know, we're going to be attacked here. We're going to be attacked here. And I was saying, no, 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 no. It's a whole farcical war, the Iraq war, the situation that the Bush administration set up. So this gentleman wrote in, Tony from Pennsylvania says, hey, Jeff, want to know why radical Muslims are pissed at us? Want to know why they send death squads over to American airports to hijack airliners and fly them into the WTC skyscrapers and into the Pentagon? Well, that's debatable, Tony, number one. The 9/11 stories I do not believe necessarily, but I understand your point. He says, I'll tell you why. For over 60 years, our big Texas oil companies and all of the other worldwide oil companies in the Saudi royal family have controlled the exploration, development, and the export of crude oil out of the Middle East. This was done without the knowledge or permission of the local citizens. They were kept poor and dumb, unaware of the grand larceny that was going on right under their noses. The poor local people were enslaved to work for peanuts, pumping crude out from under their own property, the desert sand loaded onto oil industry ships to be sent to enrich America and Europe and Japan and the rest of the world while we kept the local Arabs and the local Muslims dirt poor, uneducated, and just plain dumb. This crude oil was rightfully theirs, their property, their natural resource. It belonged to the countries of the Middle East. It was stolen from their own sovereign land. I say this, if somebody walked into your backyard and stole something valuable of yours, would you be pissed? Okay, how about if they did it every day, day after day for 60 plus years? Wouldn't you want to fly an airplane into their house? I rest my case. Tony from Pennsylvania. So a lot of people getting pissed off at Shanna and her email and her Republican viewpoints, even though she claims she's a Democrat. And some people coming to my defense and other people talking about John McCain. That's what we're talking about, folks. Response. This is what we need, a dialogue. Since we don't have phone lines in the studio while we're on the air live, it would really be nice if you email us often and a lot. Not just the same people. We appreciate your continued emails on the regular listeners. But if you haven't emailed, come on, people. Be proactive in government. Be proactive in the issues of the day around the world and nationally. Let us know what's on your mind. Email us. Tell us. It's very easy to do. It doesn't take more than a couple of minutes out of your day. You could do it after work. You could do it at lunch. You could do it at night. You could do it at any time. We have a voice comment line. No excuses. There are no excuses why you cannot email our show and our staff letting us know what's on your mind with whatever we've talked about or bring up any issues. As you see, I read the emails. I still have a lot of emails to go. In fact, I have one negative email that I'm saving for the week because I didn't get a chance to print it out yet. And I'm not going to read it off of a computer. I like to have it in my hand when I read so I can move around and respond to it. We will get to that other negative Republican. And that person admits he's a Republican, by the way. Isn't it amazing all the Republicans now coming out of the woodwork? The so-called independents that claim that they don't like the show, but they're independent. And the Republicans who state they're Republicans, and I'll give this person credit for doing that. But they're coming out of the woodwork and commenting on the show that tells you one thing, folks. Hey, everyone together, all the Democrats and all the real independents, what does it tell you? They're liking the show because it's pissing them off and pushing a hot button. And they know we're getting closer to the truth. They know we're getting closer to the truth, and they're upset. And they don't understand why they're upset other than we are seeing through the veneer of lies that are happening, that are taking place around the world. They see what's going on. They get an idea. They realize it. They see the deal. They got it. Okay? So email us. Wolfpack Talk. I'd love to read your email on the air. Wolfpacktalk at yahoo.com. W-O-L-F. No E. Just like the big bad wolf. W-O-L-F. P-A-C-K-T-A-L-K at Yahoo, that's spelled Y-A-H-O-O, Yahoo at Yahoo.com. The phone number, voice comment line, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 206-350-3919, 206-350-3919. And I did check it now, and I know you at least have 2 minutes to talk. So we definitely know for a fact you have 2 minutes. You probably have unlimited because it just it's a digital. So, but you have 2 minutes to talk and voice your opinions. We'll play that on the air, okay? We already had one person take advantage of. Who's going to be the next? Utilize it. We set it up for you again. It's not toll-free, but it is available for you to comment and have a dialogue with us. In lieu of live phone lines, have a dialogue with the show. State what's on your mind. Don't sit quietly and nod or disagree or go, yeah, he's right or no, he's wrong. Put it on an email. Give yourself a little motivational task to do today. I'm going to email Jeff. I'm going to tell him I agree with him, I disagree with him, but I'm going to let him know what's on my mind, okay? Fair enough. Real briefly, Fed chairman is optimistic about the economy from the AP Wire Services. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told Congress Wednesday that the economy should grow modestly this year, despite lingering pain from a housing slump, and he stuck to the Fed's forecast that inflation will continue to ebb. Still, Bernanke wasn't prepared to declare victory and close the door on the possibility of further interest rate increases. Even with recent improvements in core or underlying inflation, the situation remains somewhat elevated, he said. Core inflation excludes the more volatile categories of energy and food. Bernanke, delivering the Fed's first economic report for 2007 to Capitol Hill, offered a mostly upbeat assessment of the economy's outlook. Besides improvements on the inflation front, the Fed chief also cited some signs of stabilization in the ailing housing market. Overall, the U.S. economy seems likely to expand at a moderate pace this year and next, with growth strengthening somewhat as the drag from housing diminishes, the Fed chief said in a prepared remark to the Senate Banking Committee. Currently, interest rates are at a level that is likely to foster sustainable economic growth and a gradual ebbing of core inflation, Bernanke said. So, Fed chairman is optimistic about the economy. That's nice to hear. Hopefully, you're protecting yourself with your investments, and if you invested in real estate, even though there's a bubble supposedly. I'm in Arizona, and I'm pleased because I think Arizona, because of its great weather, because of so many people moving out here, that the economy is growing and the job rate growth is growing. It's the second best place for jobs, according to a recent survey done on the Internet, next to North Carolina. I believe Raleigh, North Carolina, and Phoenix, Arizona was number two. So I think our housing add-on, the increase in housing, as far as our investment of our house, it's going to go up in price. Our investment in real estate is going to go up in Arizona. So hopefully it's doing well in your part of the world. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We're going to take a quick break. We got still a Wolf's Wackies. And when we get back, we're going to discuss, what do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about, forgive me for shuffling through papers here. I want to see what we want to cover. We'll save that. Let me talk about that. That sounds kind of cool, the buzzwords, because that was fun. I came across an article about buzzwords that are taking hold in the lexicon of American vernacular. Another, the English language. I sound like a Sean Connery, Miss Moneypenny. English language, the English language. Wow. Told you it's a slow energy day, folks. Buzzwords that are taking hold in the political English curriculum now, which you'll hear what we're talking about when we get back. Samantha said, just go to the damn break. You can't talk. Take a sip of something. Go to the damn break. Go to the damn break now. Samantha, I hear you. I know what you're saying, and I'm going to go to the break. We're going to come back right after this with more of our show, the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. Stay with us. We're coming up to the last 17 minutes, 16 and a half minutes in our second hour. We still got an hour plus left to go. And you are listening to America's Liberal Voice, the head-on radio network. Jeff Allen Wolf here. You're listening on Apple's iTunes or the Horn Network itself or however you're listening, but hopefully you're joining us. We're coming right back right after these words. ¶¶
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
On this show, there's only one rule: no spin. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
Wolf Swackies. It's Wolf's Wacky Stories.
And the time for the Wolf's Wackies of the second hour of our show there. You got me. You threw me all over there, folks. What the heck was that? All right, and our Wolf's Wackies here on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. Gas station offer tariff-free oil. February grand opening planned. Area drivers will soon be able to fill up with gasoline made from tariff-free oil. That's right. KETV in Omaha reports that a gas station is about to open near 129th and Q Streets named Tariff-Free Oil, the Tariff-Free Oil Initiative. The group's objective is to encourage Americans to buy gasoline that originated from countries that do not export or finance terrorism. A representative said that Omaha's will be the first of several tariff-free oil gas stations to open across the country. The Tariff-Free Oil Initiative is dedicated to encouraging Americans to buy gasoline that originated from countries that do not support or finance terrorism, according to the group's website. Chris Decker, professor of economics with the University of Nebraska, Omaha, said the idea may make for good marketing. From a business perspective, it's kind of a neat way to differentiate yourself from the competition. To me, that sounds an awful lot like what we in environmental economics refer to as eco-labeling, like when you purchase a can of tuna with a symbol that there was no harm to dolphins to catch the tuna, Decker said. Will drivers make a special trip? Marianne Boucher said the station got her attention with its bright red and white and blue advertising, but she isn't sure when or if she'll stop there. I wouldn't go out of my way to go there, probably. No, I wouldn't, she said. The grand opening happened February 12th. Tariff-free oil. And that's the Wolf's Wacky Stories for this second hour of our show.
Unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, unshaven, uncorked, unglued, but totally assembled. It's Jeff Allen Wolf with a huge dose of common sense for you.
And back with you. The Jeff Allen Wolf Show. Welcome back to the show. Wolf Wackies, tariff-free oil. I don't know if I'd go out of my way for that. It's a cute marketing thing, but maybe if there were several of them in the area and it was just one isolated out a couple of miles away, I don't think I'd do that. But kind of cool. All right, let's get to this. We got about 12 minutes left, 12 minutes and 35 seconds, so to speak, or something like that. Being precise, I sound like Spock. Captain, we have 12 minutes, 42 seconds, and 1 microsecond left on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. All right, buzzwords. We're going to talk about presidential hopefuls and their buzzwords and how they are taking off in the world. Okay, and we'll finish up with that, maybe one other article, and then we'll wrap up the show. All right, here we go. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I have no idea. I'm singing out loud. I'm singing in the rain. There we go. Presidential. Samantha, I don't know. I just, like I said, my brain is warped today. Presidential hopefuls buzzword takes off. Meet the Transformers. No, they're not the toy action figures or electrical components. They're candidates for president. and transformational leadership is their calling card. Democratic Senator Barack Obama announced he was running for president by declaring, "I want to transform this country. Republican Mitt Romney launched his candidacy by telling people if there ever was a time when innovation and transformation were needed in government, it is now. And Democrat John Edwards revved up his second presidential bid by offering transformational change that will strengthen this country, as he phrased it in a recent Associated Press interview. Just what is a transformational leader? Well, presidential historian James McGregor Burns, whose 1978 book Leadership is widely admired and studied, wrote that a transformational leader stands on the shoulders of his followers, expressing coherently these ideas which lie inchoate in the hearts of the followers, and in the process makes his followers into new leaders. That's what Howard Dean tried to do in 2004 with his grassroots-powered populism, until his primeval scream in Iowa drowned out the whole thing. Democratic consultant Joe Trippi, who helped to frame Dean's campaign after reading Burns' book, welcomes a talk about transformational leadership rippling through the early campaign rhetoric this time. "You see, it's now popping up on the Internet," he says. "I think it's a very healthy thing that at least we're in some discussion." He's not sure, however, that the candidates realize how hard it is to avoid the more traditional transactional form of political leadership, typified by pitches such as, "I'll give you a tax cut for your vote." "Any one of these candidates could be a truly transformational candidate," Trippi says, "and any one of them could immediately revert to being transactional." Oh, boy, the words here, right, folks? Al Gore, who so far is staying out of the race, has clearly become a transformational leader with his campaign to fight global warming, Trippi said. But if he got back into the race, the one question mark would be, does running for the office ruin him being a transformational guy? Burns, now 88, is happy to see that candidates are talking about transformational leadership, but he's not sure they fully understand it. Even if they do, he says, it's hard for them to realize that you don't just suddenly turn yourself into a transforming leader. It doesn't just happen. From what he's seen of the candidates so far, Burns said, I think it's a fancy choice of words to indicate that they're going to do big things. Will they do big things? No, not in my view. The candidates themselves speak of the need for transformation with dead serious earnestness. Edwards, for example, is out front and calling for tax increases to pay for universal health care coverage. On these big issues like Iraq and health care, I want to lead, not follow, he said. Romney uses his transformational pitch to try to distinguish himself from Washington politics as usual. I don't believe Washington can be transformed from within by lifetime politicians, he said. Obama managed to tweak Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton's signature line, that I'm in it to win it, when he expanded on that, I want to win, but I don't just want to win, I want to transform the country. It's not just the 2008 candidates who have tried to claim the mantle of transformational leader. President Bush's aides have often spoke of his desire to be a transforming leader, but Burns dismisses that notion out of hand. I can't imagine him even being serious about that, the scholar said. Republican consultant Rich Galen thinks all this transformational talk is nothing more than the latest fad in presidential packaging. This is the 2008 version of soccer mom, he said, evoking a catchphrase from campaigns past, and Galen points, probably not a very smart one. Candidates that are on the edge, no matter how transforming their ideas are, don't really go very far because they just make people uncomfortable, he said. American politics generally is glacial in its changes. The notion of having somebody burst upon the scene that just changes everything happens very rarely. Wayne Fields, an expert on presidential rhetoric at Washington University in St. Louis, said people are fairly cynical about grandiose claims and terms and what does it translate into specifically. The question of what we're really ready for is complicated, he said. I'm all for change as long as it makes me healthier, younger, and richer. So interesting. I kind of agree with what Rich Galen's saying. It's a new fad in presidential packaging. It's like the soccer mom phrase. I'm a transformational leader. I want to transform the nation. I don't just want to win. I want to transform. Yeah, as everyone's latching on to a new phrase that's resonating from their think tank study groups, and everyone's going, ooh, the marketing fad. That sounds cool. Is he a transformational leader? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. Is he a transformational leader? Maybe. Could he be a transformational leader? I'm not sure. I hope he's a transformational leader. What do you think? He could be a transformational leader. So, just a fad, just a marketing phrase, a new buzzword. So if you hear it, folks, transformational or transforming, you know that everyone's going to jump on it. Pay attention to the politicians. See if they're all going to use this phrase in their speeches, okay? It should be interesting. It really should be interesting. Hey, did you hear this real briefly? Scientists prepare way for bionic man. Researchers aim within 5 years to restore natural arm and leg movements to people who are completely paralyzed using the power of neurotechnology. The American Association for the Advancement of Science annual meeting in San Francisco heard on Friday. John Donahue of Brown University and Hunter Peckham of Case Western Reserve University, neurotechnology pioneers, are to collaborate on the project with funding from the U.S. National Institutes of Health. The goal is to give quadriplegic patients an electronic brain implant linked to an electrical system of muscle stimulation, enabling them to move their limbs by thought alone, just like healthy people. This system will represent a quantum leap in the rehabilitation technologies of Professor Donahue, and it will fundamentally alter the lives of people with spinal cord injury. Jennifer French, a young quadriplegic from Florida, whose spinal cord was severed in a snowboarding accident, demonstrated how the FES technology functional electrical stimulation system enabled her to get out of her wheelchair and walk, though in a very jerky way. My first stand was a wonderful moment. She said, I could hug my husband and my parents properly. The joint project will combine BrainGate's ability to communicate neural signals to a computer with the FES's ability to activate previously paralyzed muscles. Imagine a world where the bionic man is not just a TV show, said Mrs. French. It's kind of cool. So helping people who are paralyzed to walk again eventually. New technology on the forefront. All right. We're coming up to the tail end of our show, and I just wanted to say some things. Once again, you could reach us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Your emails are coming in, but not heavily, folks. And I really expected more email response from you. A lot of people are saying they're enjoying the show privately, in conversations and IMs on the Internet, but not emailing. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. And if you take the time to let us know what is on your mind, we really would appreciate that. So email us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, WOLFPACKTALK. We're wrapping up our second hour. We got a third hour coming up. wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, YAHOO, yahoo.com. And our voice comment line, 206-350-3919, 206-350-3919. That is a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week voice comment line, and you can leave at least a 2-minute message if you want to. You don't have to leave it that long, but if you're feeling you're rushing, don't worry about it. You have 2 minutes at least to say anything you want, comment, agree, disagree. If you do call the comment line, could you at least say when you call your first name? We hope you do this in the emails, but if you can't write us, at least in the phone calls, definitely say your first name, because we can't write you back if you call us. We don't have your email. We just have to listen to you and talk about it on the air. Your first name, the city and state you're listening from, or the country if you're for some reason calling outside the country. We don't expect that. And how you're listening. Are you listening on iTunes? How did you hear about the show? And any comments you want to make. Okay, fair enough. All right. Samantha, my news producer, my producer, I want to thank you very much for helping putting the show together. Natasha, not only my girlfriend, but my news producer who keeps me on my toes and keeps the show running smoothly with all the news articles we get and gather. To Rusty, our guidance and inspiration. Dave, our marketing director. And to Maverick, the intern who is from the radio broadcast. I'm shaking his hand here, Maverick. The intern from the Radio Broadcasting School in Florida sitting in on the show and learning. And to all the Wolfpack listeners out there, we thank you for taking the time. We hope you do write us. We do really do enjoy your emails, and we do read them on the air. You see good and bad. And having a dialogue is important, folks. Don't you agree that to hear other people, I don't want to just hear my viewpoints. I want to hear your viewpoints. So take the time to write us. If you haven't yet written us, if you've been listening now for a while, for a week, couple of days, a month, longer, several months, time to email us. If you're listening this long, you must have an opinion. We really do feed off of your opinions. We really do feed off of your viewpoints and your comments about the show. It helps us design the show. It helps us focus in on what we want to do with the show. So you telling us what's on your mind is very, very important to us and the staff. It lets them know that they're doing a good job. It lets them know that people out there are paying attention and are listening to what we have to talk about. Okay, so we'll be back again. We're coming back for our third hour. Don't go away, please. Third hour is coming up. But we just wanted to give those opinions into that. We want to thank the people involved. That was important. We sometimes do it in the third hour, but I wanted to thank them in the second hour also. Because I realize some of you tune out, and you don't get to hear the credits at the end. So that's why I wanted to give everyone, you know, the credits. So stay with us in our third hour. We got a lot to talk about again on the Iraq War, a lot of other things going on. So many issues. Don't even know where we're going to go. We're just going to wing it on the third hour, okay? Stay with us. More to come from the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We're coming back right after these words. And stay with us. Don't go away. Very important that you hang out with us, okay? Coming right back.
Live from Studio 19 in Arizona, it's Jeff Allen Wolf, again on the Venture 3 Radio Network.
And back with you with our third hour of the show. Welcome back to all the Wolfpack listeners. If you just joined us, great. If you're staying with us and listening, wow, nothing on cable, huh? No, we're really glad. We get emails from people literally who say they've been listening for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes. See, what's cool about internet streaming radio, and we again point out we're not a podcast. Nothing against a podcast, but the idea of a podcast is that that's all you do. You sit somewhere in your house, you do a podcast, you send it out, you know, you have this little show you do. We have been doing this for 16 years. This is a full-blown radio station. Full-blown radio show, and we do this 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and live from Arizona on the Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice. And we have emails, and we have people writing us from all over, and we appreciate that, and we want you to keep it going, and we're having fun with that. So we get emails from people who say they're listening for 30, 40 minutes. And my point I was bringing out is it's different from terrestrial radio. I've seen so many studies and so many marketing articles that when you listen to a radio, you're usually doing something in the house. You're usually washing your car. You're teaching your kids something. Or you're playing with the dog. Or you're playing sports and the radio's in the background. They have found that people who listen to internet stream shows such as ours, such as all the other shows on the Head On Radio Network, such as any internet stream station, listen, actually listen to the show. They could be at home. They're